Welcome, boys and girls, to the show. I'm Eli Webb.
I'm Jaron Jolly.
I'm Jason Kenny.
And this is Every Fan for Himself. Excited to have you here with us today on this chilly October evening.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, this spooky October Eve.
You were really close to saying it.
No, right, I wasn't planning on it.
No. We're talking cryptids today.
Yeah, we are.
But what, before that,
yeah,
how's your guys' October?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah, we're not too far into it.
No,
so
no.
I got like plenty of time to like.
I still feel like I'm falling behind on like movies and stuff.
I feel like it's going by too fast already.
Totally.
Yeah.
It 100% is.
Yeah.
Wait, hang on. Shout out. I've been diving into the analytics, baby, of our show.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our two top states, which aren't in Utah. We got some homies in Virginia and Wisconsin.
We love seeing that.
Holding it down.
We love that.
Wow. In Arlington.
We are so small that we pay attention to analytics like that, like religiously.
I like that.
And I hope that never changes.
Yeah.
I hope one day when we are like big dog status,
yeah,
that we're still shouting out, you know, rural Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well, Arlington's rural, practically DC. Just... Right. Maybe it is. Okay. Maybe that's where they lump it in.
Right.
Maybe.
I can't imagine that we have
some
a lot of
bureaucrats
listeners in
DC. Are listening. No, remember, lobbyists. No, remember how we had that bit that our like NSA agent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe yeah, that was
it's literally
ago.
Just our agent, like
Greg.
Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have yeah.
Greg.
That that was the bit that's like the NSA has to listen to every piece of media that's ever existed.
Yeah. Patriot Act,
and
baby.
So someone's forced to hear us.
And so
and he's been our most consistent fan. Yeah,
Lowly Greg is our only listener that isn't our immediate family.
Yeah. Do you think after all this time he's been promoted and moved on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's
no.
Or but, has he?
Like, he's probably
did he
like,
special request?
No, that's
to hold on to us.
he's moved up.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as he heard us come back, he's like, put it on my office. Like,
yeah,
sir,
yeah.
But your intern can do this work. I don't care.
Yeah.
I want to listen.
He said, I'm carving out an hour and 9 minutes.
Yeah. I miss him. But yeah, if you are a listener in Wisconsin or Virginia, I mean, honestly, we have like
cheeseheads.
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet.
Dude, let us know. I would love to know if you're like first time listener, long time listener.
Yeah. If you're realizing.
If you're that, real.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. If you're not using a VPN.
Maybe that's it.
I know.
I mean, unless like.
It wouldn't make sense like within the U.S. to. Just do another U.S. state.
Bounces you like
typically
one
people
state
do
over.
It for the international stuff.
Right.
We're not talking down on VPNs because we're totally open for a sponsorship from NordVPN.
For Nord.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, for sure. I'm just saying
this is kind of actually
unlikely.
Actually, no, VPNs legitimately are fantastic. I love them.
Yeah.
And I'm not like I said, we're not sponsored or anything. I just like them because I can get like TV shows from other countries and whatnot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Disney in like the UK or Australia or whatever, they have. Every single, all of Fox's library, which American Disney doesn't. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Why? Are you just taking our time or?
Well, no, I think it's because like they put like movies that they don't necessarily want to immediately associate with Disney.
See, I don't know about that because.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. Disney Plus is running ads for The Bear.
Well, but they only show that on Hulu. It's not on Disney Plus.
No,
that's just
because
it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah,
are you serious?
You have to put in you have to put in like I want to see mature content, and
then
it makes you put in a password every
the
time.
Bear
you go
I've legit
Disney
seen.
Plus.
Yeah, I've seen an ad for.
I literally have to put in a password every time I go into Disney Plus.
Well, because I know that Disney owns Hulu and ESPN, and that's
right.
where I usually seen it.
Right.
See it, but that's amazing.
And yeah,
I know.
It's pretty nice.
Okay, maybe
like
I don't know.
Like the ad had like an edited F word, and I was like,
wild.
What the heck? It is weird seeing that next to Walt's
and also,
Big Sig.
pro tip, if you do have a VPN, that's another way to get around Netflix's whole password sharing.
Because are they not doing it in other parts of the world?
Well, like you can just set your VPN as like your parents or something like that. Or whoever's
Who's
Netflix
your home
you're
dog.
Using. Yeah.
Also, it's not as serious as people think. I was worried about it, like just waiting to get kicked off.
Yeah.
It doesn't kick you off if it's on a laptop or a phone.
Yeah. You can just,
it doesn't, but hey,
I usually just like screencast.
Well, so I tried to do that and it completely blocked me off.
That's so weird.
Really?
Netflix is really mad.
I don't think it does it on consoles either. Cause we mainly watch through the Xbox.
Oh, dang it. Yeah, huh. I need to do that then.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I got to get into that. But hey, wherever you're listening, thanks for tuning in. I hope you have something warm to drink or sup. Maybe some soup.
Stop, yeah. Stop.
No.
Or sup.
I hope that you're supple.
Of course. But yeah, cozy up.
Well, if you're in Wisconsin, please, you need to have a layer of bulk to survive those winters.
Yes, and you should be drinking or supping something hot.
I think I romanticize like those northern states and like Canada a little too much because I just imagine them just in like little cabins, just so cozy, rosy-cheeked.
Yeah. Oh,
I've heard good things about Madison, Wisconsin. Really? I've heard good things.
I believe it.
I've heard it's like a great little place.
Yeah.
I've heard great things about both Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Yeah. I mean, my brother lived in Minnesota for years and he loved it. So
I
heard
down.
Great things about Virginia. I mean, I've been to Arlington. When I went to DC, I went to the Arlington National Cemetery.
Oh, okay.
For all the military and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool. Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Really cool.
Real neat.
Wow. Yeah. That's the one where they got that guy standing out there looking like an idiot. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they do like the whole, like,
yeah,
I don't even know.
Passing
like when the guard. The changing of the guard.
Changing of the guard.
Yeah. Really cool. I got to see that. Very cool.
That's kind of nice.
Very extra.
Are there like a lot of tourists? Oh, yeah. Like a lot of people like watching this guy? Okay, so he's not alone. Like
No. Yeah, he's like, it's a performance.
Got company. Yeah.
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 He hams it up though with that rifle. He's like running his hand upside and backward.
Yeah,
very mechanical.
Cadet Kelly. Like,
it is. Yeah. Yeah, it is Cadet Kelly. They wish is what I'm trying to say.
Honestly, I don't know that we mentioned Cadet Kelly in our DCOM episode, and that's a shame.
That is too bad.
Because it had ribbon dancing in it. Because that's how Christy Carlson Romano. That was the sign that her character had developed. Was that they used that in the final performance?
So funny.
Very
dude.
Militaristic of them. Which is kind of cool. Oh wait.
Kelly is so anti-establishment.
She totally. It's totally anti-war.
Do you remember?
I remember the ad. But like, it sounds awesome. Like,
I remember in the ad.
Which is cool.
It's like very visceral to me, where it was like, military school? No.
Yes.
Don't you remember that?
Yes, I do.
That's stuck in my head.
That's a great sound.
And it goes into this whole bit on how
how
the military like preys on high school kids for recruitment and stuff like that. And how it's a little unethical. Is that the whole bit there?
There's a weird post-credit scene.
Somehow Disney early in the 2000s had a pretty strong anti-military stance.
It's a weird anti-Iraq war kind of thing.
Honestly, no way.
I bet Disney profiteers somehow.
Oh, absolutely.
Bro, they were pumping into like all sorts of private military. Yeah. Like,
well, I mean, if they own Fox, then that's like just a step away from like the football, Fox Sports
complex,
like the hyper militarization of the NFL.
Oh yeah,
single-handedly funding Blackwater, just like
Blackwater,
yeah, the
BlackRock,
no black the
black
the
rock.
Private military.
Oh black, oh is that
is a different
that thing?
Because BlackRock,
BlackRock
the
is like
company.
The huge holding company.
No, yeah, that's yeah, that's
has
like
every
the investment
company.
Company.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about private military company.
Oh, there you go.
Shit knows. I'm kind of scared.
Yeah, no, they committed war crimes and they got in trouble.
Yeah,
for
killing,
crimes. Yeah, because they killed like a bunch of innocent Iraqis and like they got in trouble for it.
Oh, word.
But not for like years. They got away with it for a long time.
Yeah, trouble in quotes.
Actually, most of them are. They're very much free.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's a little off topic.
No,
anyway.
But that just reminds me of the post-credit scene for Cadet Kelly where they really bash on the JROTC.
The post-credit scene.
They were
this
the
was
first
pre-Marvel.
Ones to do it.
Yeah.
I do have a question.
Anyway.
Kind of related.
No, I doubt it.
I was just, because I was talking to my wife about this. What was the first horror movie that you guys saw that you like knew? This is too mature. I shouldn't be watching this. Like this messed me up. Like you watched before you should have.
It could have been The Exorcist. I don't know.
You saw The Exorcist. How old are you?
I don't know. Like I might've been like 14 or something like that.
Okay.
Like I wasn't that young, but I wasn't that old either. And I think at the time, like I was like, geez, this is the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. And like, it is a scary movie, like even to this day.
See, me being a beginner, like we talked about, and like being very intentional with the ones I watched.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever really crossed that line.
You never
of like being like a sleepover. I shouldn't have done this.
Oh
yeah.
Was there ever a time when you're like, I got to get out of here because I know I shouldn't be watching this?
No, no.
I've seen a lot of scary movies that like I absolutely shouldn't have watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meaning like to this day, like I wish I hadn't watched them.
Yeah.
For me, I was 7 and I watched What Lies Beneath.
Boy.
And it upset me deeply.
Yeah.
And I ran home. I was out sleeping over at a friend's house down the street and it was like 2 a.m. and I sprinted my little 7-year-old body home.
Worst thing, all the bad stuff happens at sleepovers.
Demented.
Yeah.
I think I watched a movie called Dead Girl.
Oh my gosh.
Once in high school and like
stuck with you.
Oh man. Yeah, I shouldn't have watched that. Hmm. Like it's one of those movies that are like everyone talks about like Cannibal Holocaust and Serbian film and stuff like that. Like this was like my moment for that where I was like, I shouldn't have watched Dead Girl. Like this was
I do know what that film is about, unfortunately. But
I've had that with trailers, like knowing, like I see the trailer and it makes me uncomfortable enough where I'm like, I
wish I would
have this is hinted too much. I'm filling in too many gaps in my brain and I don't it.
Like Burger King commercials and stuff like that. Like spooky, a little too scary.
The green Burger King when they made everything green because it was Shrek.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah. Even our something slushies are green. Well, that's nice. But they're cherry. Well, that's just wrong.
Is that the gingerbread man?
No.
Whose voice
is it? Just some old grandma.
Oh.
Yeah. Because they were saying everything's green.
I don't remember that at all.
I don't remember that
at
all.
But I'm really glad that you like recited that.
Yeah, yeah.
That made me really happy.
Yeah. I've had a weird amount of those things that I'm quoting you guys don't remember.
Yeah.
No, I remember Cadet Kelly.
And no one has validated the jersey yet. So if you're from Wisconsin or
that feels like an East Virginia, Coast. You know, I guess Wisconsin's Great Plains. Hang on. Yeah, maybe there's.
But maybe they used the jersey at one point to become a Packer or something.
What are we?
I don't know.
I don't know what we're talking about.
So, cryptids.
I'm like stream of consciousness right now.
Stream of confidence right now, baby.
Cryptids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are, by definition, an animal or creature whose existence or survival to the present day is disputed or unsubstantiated. So funny enough, when people hear cryptids and think of it, like you immediately go to like Bigfoot, Yeti, things like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But technically, like some like recently extinct or suspected to be extinct animals also fall under cryptid.
Really?
Yeah. Because they just haven't been like survival to the present day is disputed or unsubstantiated.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It's like you said, a lot of them, and this is what a lot of the cryptozoologists will say, it's like they're real creatures. They just haven't been formally recognized by science.
By biology.
And a cryptozoologist is someone trying to find out, basically, whether a cryptid is real.
Yeah.
Bridge the gap.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm really excited.
It's a pseudoscience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so, so cool. And I'm actually really glad we're talking about it because I feel like this is maybe something as a podcast we haven't really gotten into as much, but there's such a massive following for cryptids and cryptozoology.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And I think even like really normal, like balanced people have some form of like, oh yeah. Like whether it's a Bigfoot belief or whether it's something, I feel like it's really common for people to be like, oh yeah, I totally think that's legit.
Yeah. Or even to be like not ruling it out.
Totally.
Like, there's gotta be something out there.
100%.
That, like we don't know or hasn't been proven.
The ocean's full of it.
Oh yeah.
The ocean's full of creatures that we don't know.
Explored like 10% of the ocean or something.
Probably less.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
The ocean is so scary.
So scary.
Like dark open water.
Nothing worse.
Huge fear. Huge fear. Also, so we're going to be explaining some cryptids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And going over them, history, lore, you know, where they're from.
I got a tale or two.
And none of us are covering Bigfoot, but we're going to shout him out.
Yeah.
Because he is the main
Pretty the most popular. We all, is the
we've seen
one.
The yeah. photo, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You, everyone has their theory about yeah. him.
And we're specifically covering North American cryptids yes. in this episode. Because if you open it up to the world, there's way too many to choose from.
Yeah.
And, like, you get into a lot of, like, old folklore.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
But what's kind of fun to me about American cryptids is that, like, it's basically the earliest you're going to see is 1600s.
Yeah.
Totally.
So it's all like very recent stuff, very East Coast mm-hmm. rooted, you know, because that's when like people were more superstitious and,
yeah.
you know, Puritans or Quakers or like whatever's going on. And then you see kind of like it bleeds into the West for sure.
Yeah.
And like everywhere has something.
Yes.
But it is kind of fun to see how recent myth and lore has developed in North America.
And I like the idea that most of our listeners are from North America. I like the idea that maybe someone listening to this will run into something we talk about.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is like coming across people who say they've experienced something or mm-hmm. seen something
right. mm-hmm.
Unexplainable that isn't a ghost, you know, that
right.
it might be a Bigfoot or something yeah, like that.
Right.
Like I've come across a weird amount of those people. You know, yeah. who have said something like that. So yeah. it is an interesting subject.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Jer, what's your first cryptid?
Yeah. I'm talking about the Wendigo.
Sick.
The Wendigo, for those who don't know, it's like Algonquin, which is the region, I think it goes up into Canada, but it's like the Great Plains region that includes like Minnesota, Wisconsin. And I think it even goes down. It's like a bunch of different tribes across northern and eastern United States.
Mm.
And basically it's the Wendigo is this legend that it's like the spirit or this entity that stemmed, apparently one of the most popular legends is that it stemmed from like a great Native American hunter who got lost in like a snowstorm and resorted to cannibalism.
Mm.
And because he resorted to cannibalism, he was turned into like a crazed, bloodthirsty monster. And there's a lot of descriptions for what he's supposed to look like. But I think the most common is that he's really tall, like tall as a tree is what they say. Tall as a tree, gray, ashen skin, missing his fingers, missing his lips. Oh. And he's got like sunken skin, like he's starving because he is an embodiment of, like hunger, greed, cannibalism, obviously murder and like that kind of devastation, but like this empty or like this bottomless hunger.
Mm.
And people have described the scent of death and decay, and he's obviously associated with winter. And the kind of crazy thing about the Wendigo is that outside of being an entity, it's also considered like a spirit, like people have reported, you know, family members getting possessed and trying to eat their family members.
Interesting.
Which is kind of freaky.
Also, this actually, the first one we mentioned probably goes against my earlier statement. This is probably older than 1600s, hey?
Yeah, I would say
yeah.
both of mine.
Really?
Because two of mine are Native American.
Right. Yeah.
And
I didn't mean to exclude.
No, that's okay.
Native American folklore.
I think a lot of the like written sort of dedicated recordings, reported stuff starts to come in the more like modern era.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it's been around for a long time.
Oral tradition.
Exactly.
Before then.
Completely. Mm-hmm. As far as like becoming a Wendigo, it basically they say that you can become a Wendigo if you resort to cannibalism.
But yeah, willingly eating
so
human
there's,
flesh.
Yeah, so, right. so there's multiple. Not one Wendigo.
Correct.
Mm.
It's yeah. like you embody this.
It's a thing that you can, right.
And the thing that's well, so we also kind of want to talk about media representations of this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few movies. Apparently everyone says the best representation of a Wendigo that they've seen is in a 1999 movie called Ravenous. That's cool. Apparently very good. There's a recent movie called The Retreat in 2020 that came out that was, explicitly about the Wendigo. Some people say that the popular horror film by Scott Cooper called Antlers that came out in 2021 was a representation of that.
I think that's what it was meant to be.
Yeah. Mm. But a lot of people disagree with that because that was set in the Pacific Northwest, which is not Algonquin.
Mm.
And also people are like, you know, if you see it with like the antlers and the horns, a lot of Native American people will be like, that's not it. Mm-hmm. That's a media adaptation. That's
yeah. They've appropriated Wendigo
completely. I do want to share one really quick story about, I did like a deep dive on, encounters, and I went on Reddit and found this guy who I honestly vetted. I looked at like his other Reddit post. This is the only time he posted on like a paranormal page. All his other things are, he's from Minnesota and he's like, you know, on the Minnesota Twins subreddit. And he's like, where's the best beer I can get? Right. Whatever. And so I'm like, this guy seems legit. And basically he was this canoe guide, up in northern Minnesota and in Manitoba. And he would take people on like these
Great Lakes or
yeah.
Yeah.
And he would take people on these canoe trips. And, he told the story of basically, he said, every single guide I worked with has their own Wendigo story. Hmm. And he said, people, it's not something we joke about. It's not something we even talk about. We refer to it as W's because even talking about it conjures up dark energy that we don't want. And he said, people see it and you take it serious and you look the other way and you keep going. And if it keeps bugging you, you don't want to throw people off, but you just say, hey, we're going to keep pushing ahead. And he told the story of him leading this group, and they get in this area that's a little more kind of nestled away, and they get to camp. They're setting up camp, and they have a nonverbal autistic teenager with them, and the whole time they are like around setting up campfire around the campfire, the autistic teenager kind of keeps saying, I guess he has trouble communicating. I don't know if he's like fully nonverbal, but he kept communicating. He's like, what's that large man doing back there? What's that large man doing there? What's that like tall white man doing back there? And they kept turning around and obviously there was nothing there, but he kept freaking out being like, what's that guy doing back there? And so they kind of ignored it and then they went to sleep, and the only woman that was in their group had her own tent kind of off the side. And in the middle of the night, they're kind of getting ready for bed and they hear her go, the guide's name was Steven. And she was like, Steven, please stop. Like, Steven, stop it. And they call it. They're like, are you okay? She's like, yeah, I just want you to stop it. And they're like, oh, okay. Like not really knowing, you know, they wake up the next morning, they go to her tent and the stakes, which were metal stakes, had been completely bent in half. And he said like 30, 40 mile an hour winds can't even bend that. Like no human can bend those stakes in hers. And both poles were just like stakes in the ground were completely torqued. And, so they're like, okay, we're going to like, without saying anything, he's like, we're going to camp somewhere else. So they pack up, they move along, and the group behind them the next day, you know, they catch up with the group and they're like, hey, there was a large white creature at that campsite because I, the other guide was like, I went to the bathroom by myself and, something came up and started shaking the outhouse and like growling and like circling. And I could see like this big white figure through like the vents in the top circling it and shaking it. And I get out and obviously everyone at the camp, you know, no one had followed me. And so apparently in that area in Minnesota, very common.
Interesting. Cool story.
Yeah. Yeah. And now we know like that at least one Wendigo responds to Steve.
Sure.
It did stop after she said
Steven. It's like, okay. Cool. Yeah, that's the Wendigo.
Wow.
That's cool. Gross. Cool.
My first that I'm going to go over is pretty popular, pretty well known. It's the Mothman.
Love it.
Oh.
So.
Classic.
In the 60s, in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, was the first reported sighting of the Mothman. And there were a few different like couples who were out who thought they saw it or individuals. The very first report was an article in a newspaper titled Couples See Man-Sized Bird Creature Something. And so the descriptions of it are that it has red eyes, like glowing red eyes, 7 feet tall-ish, humanoid, with large white wings.
White wings?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That's at least some of them, right?
Yeah.
Depending on what you see, because there's a lot of illustrations out there and stuff like that. Like, it's a fun thing to use. And so people have done it in different iterations and stuff. But that is what people reported seeing, excuse me. In one of them, one of those reports, there was a couple driving and wherever they were driving, like they pulled up and saw it and they turned around and started driving away and said that it flew after them, screeching, like following their car for That's a while. Sick. Yeah. And they said it's hard to tell like facial details because the eyes are so bright luminous. And distracting. Yeah. Yeah. And like you, like a little hypnotic, like you don't Ooh. Know what you're looking at when you Scary. See them. Yeah. And there have been different reports of like, you know, people seeing a large white figure and then like shining a light at it. And like the main thing you see is the big glowing red eyes.
Reflection. Wow.
Yeah. That's so sick. Point Pleasant, this area in West Virginia, they have a yearly festival dedicated really? To Mothman. Yeah. Mm. It's like a huge tourist draw. They estimate like 10 to 12,000 visitors every year.
That's dope.
And it's the third weekend in September. So we just missed it.
Dang it.
Yeah. I know. But,
there's like a big like aluminum statue or something. Uh-huh. It's like big. It's got to be like tin or something. It doesn't look like
it's like poorly like, constructed.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, there is a statue that was put up a little bit after the festival started, and yeah, I mean they've got like performers and like swag and Mothman like festival shirts you can buy like from the year. I saw the 2023 shirt. Really cool.
Really?
Yeah. Mothman Festival 23, really cool.
How long have they been doing it?
A while. I don't actually don't it would know be the
fun,
first one.
It would be fun to get like your birth year Mothman shirt.
That'd be sick.
That's so cool though.
Yeah. And so a lot of people suspect that it was just like a sandhill crane.
Just or a heron. Massive bird.
Yeah, yeah. Just a huge bird because they can stand as tall as a man. They've got a 7 foot plus wingspan. They're Heads big up. Birds. And even like... some like a sandhill crane does have like a hint of red
in its eye
around its eye yeah. or in its eye. And people thought like have theorized that maybe it was one of these large types of birds that kind of got off its migration path. And so it wasn't native to the area. And so like they just saw a bird they had never seen.
Yeah.
You know, but this one's super recent.
Just one by
like
itself.
Mothman is super recent.
Right.
66 and 67. And there was actually, it was like 1 year of sightings. Really interestingly, there have been like some, really like someone claimed, I think in 2005 that they saw it, but there were a few couples in that. And there was a collapse of a bridge. It's called Silver Bridge. It was in December of 1967, killed 46 people. Whoa. And it's in the area. And so a lot of people like connected it with the Mothman.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Yeah.
It's just a large owl.
Yeah. Well, no. Because Owlman is a different cryptid from Cornwall in England.
Batman's counterpart from
Court of Owls. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, and then I was going to say Earth 2, I think it is.
Oh, yeah. Same. No, Owlman. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Owlman is different and from the UK and from DC Comics. And the Killer Moth is a Batman villain who was popular at the time. Like, within the comics.
Really?
He's part of the Rogues Gallery. He wasn't in the Adam West show ever, but people do suspect like it's possible that the popularity of Batman and his villain Killer Moth like led to like could have influenced the naming of Mothman.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's been featured in a few pieces of media. Yeah. There's a 1975 book called Mothman Prophecies. Yeah. And then a 2002 movie based on it starring Richard Gere.
Yeah, we love him.
This week,
yeah,
the director of the movie teased that they could be doing a sequel.
Oh, sick.
That's really exciting.
Have either of you seen it?
No, I haven't.
I actually haven't. You know what? That's funny enough. I haven't for some reason. But I do love Richard Gere.
yeah, sure.
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman. Movie, yeah. Right? Yeah. Chicago.
Yes.
Great in Chicago.
Under the Tuscan Sun. Get out of here.
Oh, my gosh.
Some Lancelot something.
Yeah, okay.
He's Lancelot, Sean Connery's King Arthur.
Oh.
He like ends up with
it called Lancelot?
No. It's something. It's shoot, I don't remember what it's called. Okay. It's him though, isn't it? It's Richard Gere.
It's gotta be.
Tell you.
But like, it's gotta but like be. He, no context. He and King Arthur's wife, love, betrothed, something, like have an affair, like Lancelot. And it's, yeah. And oh, in the end, King Arthur like wishes them well and happiness and lets them, yeah.
And Mothman makes
it's
an
like
appearance.
Very honorable. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually it's a
prequel. Richard Gere is Mothman in both of them. Yeah. So that's Mothman.
I love Mothman.
And you see like there are a lot of iterations of him within, you know, just art and illustration and
yeah,
some nerd stuff around.
Okay.
Yeah. He's pretty fun. Pretty cool. I've always liked his imagery. That's why I chose him, because I really like how he looks.
Very cool.
I like that.
Depictions.
Me too.
So for mine, my first one anyway, we are going to, I'm going to, you know, keep it kind of light. We're going to head down south, Cajun country. Oh. We're going to go to Louisiana. Okay. So this is a Cajun folklore, which is believed to have originated from France. Mm-hmm. It was brought over, and they even have a record of this creature in parts of Canada, in the French parts of Canada.
Cool.
It is the Rougarou.
Cool.
Or the Loup-garou. So the Rougarou is, he's basically a werewolf. Okay.
Cool.
It's kind of just like French werewolf folklore. So there are tales of him going back to, you know, medieval times. And I know that in 16th century, there was a lot of reports of the Rougarou, attacking people and killing people. But, they kind of believe that at the time they were kind of just using him as a scapegoat, because like it was easier to blame a creature than like going through like long legal hearings and whatnot, you know. Right. What I mean, so yeah, whenever like a child died or something got stolen, they just like, yeah, this is the werewolf guy, you know.
Totally.
Wow.
But getting back to Louisiana, so he's pretty famous down there. They've named like a lot of different events. Mm-hmm. They have I think Six Flags even has a ride named after the Rougarou.
Cool.
But yeah, like I said, he's basically a werewolf. He can transform into a wolf. And there's a little bit of fuzzy lines there on how he transforms, if he's able to do it at will.
Or if it's,
like, or if it's a curse. Oh. I think I've seen a lot that it's like very similar to like lycanthrope, kind of lore, where you're cursed by it and something compels you to turn into a wolf. But from what I'm seeing, a lot of people think that the Rougarou can do it at will. And that's what makes him unique and different than a regular werewolf, is he can choose to do it whenever he wants.
Cool.
What's kind of fun about the Rougarou is there's a lot of kind of reasons why people think that he does what he does.
Yeah.
It was used as like a, you better behave, or the Rougarou is going to get you, kind of a thing, you know, telling children to not misbehave. Catholics used it a lot to say, hey, if you break Lent, then the Rougarou is going to get you.
Nice.
Yeah. And there's even lore that says, if you break Lent, you'll turn into a Rougarou.
Dude, I'd be breaking Lent left.
Yeah, bro. But here's the thing though. So just like a werewolf, if you get attacked and you survive, then you're cursed with it. Right. In order to not become a Rougarou, you have to wait a year and a day to tell anybody about it. So if you get attacked, you can't say a word for a year and a day, or else you'll turn into one.
That's kind of
which is interesting.
Yeah, what a fun little thing.
Yeah. Unless you talk to like a witch doctor or something, like a priest or someone to like try and break the curse or something.
Mm.
Teaches kids not.
Yeah.
That teaches kids to lie to their parents. Right.
Did some Rougarou like let someone know who they had attacked?
You don't tell anyone.
He's like, hey, by the way.
I know you're bleeding out of your neck.
If you wait, you won't have to be one.
I'll come back in a year and give you some treat.
So fun little, you know, tidbit on how to protect yourself. I know that's what you're wondering. How do I get rid of a Rougarou?
Right.
How do I protect myself?
Yeah.
Well, he can only count to 12. Dead serious. If you are fearful for your life, you need to put down like 13 coins or 13 beans, rice, something. 13.
Okay. That's really interesting, because 13 is so unlucky in so many other
things.
Things. Yeah.
Because he will spend the night trying to count up all of those things, but he can only count to 12.
What on earth?
Yeah.
Don't you think he just gets to 12 and be like, that's the one I don't know?
No, because he would keep losing count or something. Yeah. He's like, well, I hit 12, but
There's one more.
He keeps recounting.
That's actually a big thing in vampire lore too, is that vampires have extreme OCD. And so in order to stop a vampire from like attacking, you can throw like a large bag of beans or rice or whatever, and they have to count every single grain. And it usually takes them so long that they have to go back to bed in their coffin.
If that's actually that's one of those things where it's like confirmation bias or something like that. I forget the exact term for it, but we say vampires are OCD, but that's just because the OCD ones survive. The ones who are too lax, they step in the sun, they'll eat garlic, things like that. It's just the ones who have been immortal. They're just fastidious.
Yeah. There's actually a cool movie. It's an adaptation of Dracula, I think, where I think Van Helsing throws out some coins or rice or something, and Dracula is so experienced with it, he counts it in an instant, and it doesn't even faze him. It's pretty cool.
That's fun.
Yeah. final thing on the Rougarou. Scared of frogs. Doesn't like frogs.
Dude, that's so cool. What? That's easy in Louisiana.
Scared of frogs.
Yeah. Like, it's got to be, like, they're no big deal down there.
Yeah. And I only found that in like one publication.
I know I'm generalizing. So it's not like about everywhere. Louisiana, by the way. That's generalization. Yeah. It's not a harmful one though.
Apologies.
There's frogs everywhere.
French people, right?
Princess and the Frog.
Yeah, bingo.
Yeah. Yeah. They've done it themselves.
It's their fault.
So yeah, that's the Rougarou.
He's kind of fun. And 13. Well, actually, speaking of French people and frogs,
being frogs.
Yeah, or eating them.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? Is that similar to like, eat enough garlic and you'll have protection from a vampire? Like,
eat enough frogs. Eat enough
frogs. Do you have some Rougarou? Or are they afraid of the living frog?
I think they're afraid of living frogs.
Yeah. Well, maybe. That's the difference. Because garlic would hurt a vampire, but like, Rougarous are just afraid of frogs.
Because I think garlic was believed to have like cleansing properties.
Yeah. Sure. Still believed.
Still true.
Yeah. Cleansing properties.
Dude, that's awesome. Okay, I'm going to have to start carrying around one more bean because, you know, I carry around 12 always.
Because I thought 13 was unlucky. If I'm in Rougarou country, I have 12
loose beans.
If you're in
always.
The swamps of Louisiana.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'll go to my second. This one is just fun. I chose it because it has, honestly, just like a cute name.
Okay.
It's Champ.
Excuse me?
Champ or Champy.
Excuse me?
The what?
Uh-huh. It's a monster that apparently lives in Lake Champlain, which is in Vermont. It's shared between Vermont and New York and goes up into Quebec and goes up into the river there and stuff. And the French cartographer Samuel de Champlain is the founder of Quebec and the lake's namesake.
Right.
And he's often claimed to be the first European to have sighted Champ in 1609. And so it's kind of an old chicken egg thing.
So,
because he, like, the lake's named after him, the monster's named after the lake, but he's the discoverer of it. But Champy. That claim didn't come out. The earliest source for the claim is in a 1970 issue of the magazine Vermont Life.
So I want to know.
So 370 years after, they're like, "It's crazy. Yeah, he must have been the first to see it."
Okay. I like that explanation because I was going to ask what this guy did that he's blaming. You know, I would assume he's making up a monster for clout or because he did something terrible.
Yeah.
You know? And he
he's just a cartographer.
But what more clout?
He just saw
what more
big.
Clout does he want than having stuff named after
him? Well, this is the thing. It's probably not him. This Vermont magazine saying like he saw that. Because in his exploration, he like described big fish.
Like, so is it like a little sea monster?
Big, long. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got, in some understandings or depictions, it's got like kind of a dinosaur long neck head. It's similar to the Loch Ness.
Cool.
Things we've seen. We don't know much about its body, obviously, because it's mostly in the water.
Right.
But it is like, people ascribe that sighting to Samuel, but he was just describing big fish like sturgeon and stuff.
Okay.
But Champ, just cutie. Such a fun, cute
Very
name.
Very cute name.
Yeah. It never, like, it's not hinted at all that he's dangerous or malicious or anything. No one's been lost to the lake. No one's been killed. No one, like, it's just,
he's just hanging.
Some dude, you know, hanging out.
Yeah.
And Champlain, what he said specifically is he saw a 20-foot serpent thick as a barrel and a head like a horse.
Okay, so he's the first one to see it.
Yeah, essentially. But also back then, you know, could have exaggerated. Yeah. When you're out alone exploring, you see scared. Something big in a lake. You know, dude, it could be 7 feet. I'm saying 20.
I don't trust this guy.
That's true. I mean, do you remember? Guy.
No, he seems okay.
Do you remember the first time you were like in the ocean and you're like, it was like a 20-foot wave came and like, walked. I was like, it was 3 feet. Yeah. Calm down.
Yeah.
Same deal.
Yeah.
He was a child.
Sure. In 1977, a woman named Sandra Mansi took a photograph on vacation and that appears to show Champ.
Champy?
Yep. It's a dinosaur head poking out of the lake. But people are saying it's likely not real because like that entire bay of the lake where the photograph reportedly was taken is no deeper than 14 feet. And so like, what kind of monster
it's
is
it's just
this?
Walking on the bottom with its head poking up.
Yeah. According to some expert, unlikely that a giant creature could swim, let alone hide in such shallow water. It's been suggested that the photograph was just like a tree trunk or log, like floating in a weird
always
way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also when they were asking her to like substantiate her claim, she said she had thrown away the negative and couldn't remember where she took the picture. Exactly. So a little tenuous.
I sleepwalked into taking the photograph.
You know what? I trust her more than I trust Champ Flynn.
Port Henry, New York has Champ Day, the first Saturday every August.
Honestly, believe women. She saw it.
Should we? Let's make a little trip and go to like cryptid festivals.
Yeah.
That would be so
I
want
to go to
sick.
Mothman Festival. Champ Day sounds fun.
They have them everywhere, apparently.
Yeah. So well, they have stuff in Roswell for Area 51.
They have a Rougarou Festival.
Dude.
Sick.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Let's do it.
Do you ever get the suspicion that Roswell is just, they had to say something because it's such a lousy area?
That's what
who, I'm, like the people who want to bring tourists?
Yeah. Anyone there is like,
that's what I'm thinking about all aliens. Of these monsters, bro. Freaking Champlain, well, I'm sure
Champlain's
he's making stuff up
beautiful.
Just to like, oh, I saw a monster.
Yeah, what
why
they,
you,
what
he
they
just
mean?
Described a big fish. Roswell, why are you slandering this guy?
Roswell wanted clout, so they're claiming they saw stuff.
Yeah.
Roswell,
the, French
the guy.
Making up werewolves so they can get away with murder?
That's
oh,
true.
Oh, the French lying?
Shocker.
That's not hard to believe.
We don't have any, we don't
the French
have any,
until I have a listener.
We don't have any French listeners. Let's just let's push it.
There's also
the people of Wisconsin.
Oh, they're kind of French adjacent, aren't they?
No. We're saying they don't.
Wisconsin,
they're
Minnesota.
Honest.
Yeah, there's
they'd never
they
lie.
Have no reason to lie
no
to
way.
Us.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
Yeah, Wendigo, got to be real.
Yeah.
I'm saying
there's a. It's the mascot, by the way. Champ is the mascot of Vermont's baseball team.
Yeah.
The Vermont Lake Monsters.
Oh, that's great.
That's cute.
Dude, I love when minor league teams can just go wild with it.
Uh-huh. And there's a movie called Lucy and the Lake Monster based on a book.
Yeah. Yes. Wait.
Yeah.
I remember that from my childhood.
Cool. And it was in post-production this year, like as late as May.
Huh.
So things
wait,
are still
what?
Going on. It's supposed to come out on Netflix.
I've heard.
Oh, wait,
it before,
what was
though.
The
in the next little bit?
What was the movie that came out in like 2007?
The Good Dinosaur.
Stop it. That was 2016. No, there's
2007
or like six or something, and it's
Flippa.
What did you say? Flippa?
Isn't
that
the dolphin movie?
Yeah, dolphin.
No, there's a lake monster. Maybe it's about Lake Ness, Lake Loch Ness.
Lake
I do know what you're talking
the
about.
The Lake Ness.
I do.
Do
know you? What you're
and it's like
about.
A British Scottish girl.
I swear I know what you're
and
talking.
And she has
I mean,
a little
it's
cute.
Not, it's not Lucy and the Lake Monster.
I know what
Eli's it's
talking
not,
about as well, though.
But that sounds exactly like it. All right, keep talking. I'm gonna find it.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of lake monsters you'll find have similar descriptions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people saw logs. but that's Champ. Just
cool.
What a fun, just benevolent
little guy.
Cute name.
Angel buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute fraud.
Yeah. Jer, what's your number two?
It was called the Water Horse.
Oh, the Water Horse. Yeah.
Do you remember?
It's like a
Kelpie.
Yeah,
War Horse.
Yeah, it's a Kelpie, not a, yeah.
Okay, still. Would you say War Horse, Jason? I'm gonna follow Eli's lead. I'm keeping it kind of fun. We're going to go with another lake monster. This one shouts out to Utah people. Has anyone ever heard of the Bear Lake Monster? Have you ever heard of the Bear Lake Monster?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. I've seen the pictures and everything.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I looked into it. It's pretty interesting. So apparently when like the first Mormon settlers were headed up there.
Settlers.
I was for, that was for you guys. I
know it wasn't. You'd say that automatically.
No, but I've been chastised enough to stop it, and now I say it because I want to get a reaction out of you. Because I used to say settlers of Catan, and people made fun of me.
Yeah.
So now it's settlers. Thanks, America.
Did you see also how they notice he says thanks?
Thanks.
You say thanks.
I do. I hit the what is that called? I voice it instead of not.
Thanks, settlers.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Native Americans told Mormon settlers
better
that as they were setting up, they saw them the Mormons like bathing on the banks of the the shore.
Yeah.
And they were like, don't do that. We've lost some people that way. And they're like, what do you mean lost some people? They said, well, there's a creature that lives and stalks along the shore. And, I just avoid doing that. And so that's kind of where it started. And during like the 1860s, apparently there was a ton of reports of the people that lived there. Like, hey, we've seen this creature. All the kind of, there's a ton of reports, but they describe it as like a 40-foot long, like.
That's so big.
So big.
Dude. That's so big.
Way stalking too big. A shoreline.
Way too big. Like white, pale, crocodilian, serpentine thing.
Hmm.
And it actually got so big that Brigham Young like was interested in it, and he came up to Bear Lake to like check it out, to be like, all right, let's see what we can see. Obviously didn't see anything. But a reporter from the Deseret News like made a whole story of it and got people really interested in it. And I'm looking at Jason.
It's so funny.
Okay. No, I feel like going. You have like a punchline. You're like waiting till the fire off. But apparently, obviously there was like a ton of reports. The popularity kind of waned, and people were like, the reporter who published the reports kind of denounced the whole thing. He's like, I kind of sensationalized things. I think it's all a lie. I think it's a world-class lie. But apparently in 1907, a group that was camping along the bank, like set up a fire. Camping along the shore. I keep saying bank, thinking of it as a river, but like camped near the shore, got the fire going. And one of the guys was like, hey, I keep seeing something bob in and out of the water. They go to explore and they see the Bear River monster.
Bear Lake.
Bear River. Bear Lake. Gosh. I keep, you know, that's why I keep doing that is because in my head, I keep thinking about Jeremy Wade and River Monsters. Did you guys ever watch that show?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Great show. But
never,
Jake? Oh, it's incredible.
He's got some memes.
Yeah,
these days
he's the man. But they get closer and they see the Bear Lake monster start the way that they describe it charging toward us across the lake like a mad elephant. And apparently one of the horses was close enough to the shore and it was tied up that the thing with its paw, I said, grabbed the horse, ripped it from the like where it was tied up, and just mauled it and destroyed it and pulled it into the water, which is pretty like specific and graphic. Yeah. It wasn't like, yeah.
You're seeing a log in the middle of the lake.
Yeah. Our horse got misplaced. Like
right.
They saw it and described it.
Yeah.
Chomping at the horse.
That's insane.
It is insane. No way, bro. Right. And, anyway.
Also, I do think it is really funny that like this guy's claiming he like made it all up, right?
Right.
And
like, so that's like 60 years before the journalist was like, it's all a lie. Oh. And then 60 years later, 1907, what these guys are describing is this very vivid experience of a horse getting eaten by the Bear Lake monster.
Okay. Because I do think it is funny, like before that, like people claiming that they've seen this monster and what, and like making the, at the time, governor of Utah travel days to get there.
Dude, he wanted to go. He was like, this seems interesting. And he went and he was disappointed.
That's so funny.
It is funny. There's no media. I mean, there's a lot of popularity around it. A bunch of, in the 90s, a bunch of elementary school students held a contest to like name it, and they named it Isabella.
It's kind of cute.
And
who
I mean, they don't
who
know.
Who validated that?
Yeah.
The city. The city's like, great.
Of, they're like,
yep. Whatever. Whatever. The whoever the kids report to. I don't know.
Isabella.
And apparently.
Yeah, we do need more representation among cryptids.
Yeah.
For sure.
We've been saying he, Mothman.
Completely.
Yeah.
And the last reported sighting was 2007. It was on a show called, Jason, you just mentioned it a second, like earlier.
Oh.
Monsters and something.
Yeah. American Mysteries and Monsters.
Yes. Something
like that. Yeah. On Travel Channel.
A guy came and they did a segment about that. But that was the last.
That's fun.
Known thing. Everyone, they know it's a complete farce.
Yeah.
Well, like I've seen like the pictures of like its little head,
uh-huh.
and people are like, this could be just a toy, a ladle,
right?
Like, any number.
Well,
of
yeah, because there's also on I think the northern shore, maybe it's the eastern shore. There's a boat that you can dive down that's crashed and cracked in half that you can dive down to at Bear Lake. And people are like, oh, it was a victim of that. It's like a sailing yacht that just sunk.
From like 2011 or something.
Yeah, it's like from like the late 90s. It's not that old. But that's the Bear Lake Monster.
Cool.
I like the Bear Lake Monster.
Yeah.
I like that we in Utah have a monster.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to make things a little scary.
Yeah.
We're going to go south again, but ooh, south of Utah.
Ooh.
So the American Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
Including Mexico has a monster called La Lechuza. Okay, so the sightings of La Lechuza are mostly in like Texas, New Mexico, and Mexico.
Okay.
It is essentially a witch.
Cool.
It is a witch that, well, okay, we're not exactly sure what her origins are. Right. A lot of people say it's a witch that was killed, that was burned for being a witch, whatever, and came back as La Lechuza.
Yeah.
Or it's the spirit of the witch. But what's cool about this witch is she came back in the form of like a half woman, half owl. So it's like an owl woman. Okay. And so like a lot of like the reports will say that like this is like the size of a fully grown woman, but with like features of an owl and like black feathered wings.
Ooh,
and like she's super scary. She looks like, I don't know, mid-20s probably, like her face anyway.
She's young. She's
mid-20s.
Kind of cute.
She's got a body cute. Like
but she can also turn into like a regular owl and usually uses that form to kind of like stalk out the prey, to kind of like stay low key a little bit. And then the owl woman form is just to mess people up.
just a frick with everyone.
But La Lechuza is scary. She's terrifying. She can mimic like the sound of babies crying, and she makes weird like whistling and stuff like that to kind of like lure people in and like, oh, what's that? Is that a baby crying? Like, let me go investigate. Ew. And
that's
she gets
such a scary horror trope.
So scary,
it's
bro.
The worst.
So scary. And then she'll like attack you. She'll pick you up and like fly you to her lair where she just tears you apart. You know, a lot of people think that she has like the power to manipulate weather, like create thunderstorms and stuff. But other people say no, she just comes out during thunderstorms because it's kind of less conspicuous, right? And like you can kind of get away, you can hide in the storm. I saw like one interview on that show we just mentioned of a guy saying he came across one, and he goes outside and you know, because of noises that he's hearing, and he's seeing this like fireball just above his head, just whizzing around his house and his neighbor's house, just whizzing, like doing circles around their house.
Ew.
Literal ball of fire.
In the middle of the night?
Middle of the night.
Oh,
and like
gosh,
they're being attacked, and like they run inside, and he looks out the window, and like once again, this owl woman face just pops up.
Oh,
at him. Really scary stuff, man. But anyway, that's the La Lechuza.
That's so cool. I've never heard that.
Yeah. Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. It's ooky.
And I was actually really excited to learn about it because it's a witch, and that's cool. You don't hear a lot about witches.
I feel like that'd
make
it,
you know what I mean?
Obviously a lot of these would, but like that would make a great horror movie.
Yeah, totally.
Such a scary.
You said something like he saw one or saw a La Lechuza.
Well,
can there be one?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, because it's basically any witch. Okay, like I said, there's multiple
right.
potential origins. Right, right, but right. any witch who has died, who came back,
mm-hmm.
typically will come back in the form of this owl woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Cool.
Or is just the spirit of the witch. So mm-hmm. one of the two.
Ooh.
So really scary. Very cool. Some ways to defend yourself against one of these witch women. Salt. So like that's a typical thing yeah. to ward against.
Classic.
Spirits and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The devil. Salt. Another one is cussing her out. So for some reason, doesn't like curse words. So if you are ever, you know, late at night camping in southwestern Utah and you hear a baby crying, yell the most obscene, profane things you can possibly imagine, just in case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do that. I mean, that's I would do that
like
anyway.
A terror, a witch, obviously involved in the darkest magic, but like clutches her pearls at some curse words.
Yeah. Yeah. Violently tears. Can you please not
also,
use that language?
Also, does she do it? Like, does she respond to English curse words and Spanish curse
yeah,
words?
Yeah. It has to be in Spanish.
Yeah, it has to be. You know, I'm sure she can tell the difference.
Yeah.
Like, she knows.
Yeah, yeah. Even if she doesn't speak English, she knows when she's being cursed at.
Yeah, you can't draw a part F on around that lady. Yeah.
That's part of the reason they're called curse words.
Oh.
Because they drive away a cursed woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mexican witches.
Cool.
Huh.
Yeah, there she is.
Cool. Creepy. Interesting spread we've got of multiples or just one.
Yeah.
Right? Single Mothman.
Yeah.
Single Champ, obviously. Yeah.
Multiple
Wendigos. Multiple Lachusas and the Koo.
The Rougarou.
Rougarou.
And mm-hmm. I think that kind of like, I don't know, helps the story endure a little bit longer. Because
yeah,
if it's just a single thing.
Totally. Well, it's wider spread too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you mentioned three states. You mentioned two states with Wendigo.
Yeah.
You know, you're saying the Rougarou is Louisiana up to Canada in some cases.
Yeah. I mean, just wherever
coming
the French
from
immigrated.
Old France. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise they're pretty localized, like mm-hmm. a lake.
Yeah.
Right. They got nowhere to go.
Well, and yeah. you know what's interesting about some of these guys is like you see a little bit of overlap.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Rougarou even is sometimes described as like the face of a dog, not just like the face of a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
right? But like there's also cryptids that are like dog men,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. yeah.
And with the Rougarou, they'll find like cattle that are completely drained of blood.
Mm.
That's a chupacabra thing.
Totally right,
right. right. And so there is a little bit of overlap where it's like, okay, well, what's actually going on here?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. If there's enough similarities,
yeah.
but seemingly independent reports,
yeah.
you know, that
Once
have
again,
been ascribed to different names or traits or something yeah. like that.
And you also mentioned an owl person.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that too.
Yeah. Okay.
We got one more to go.
Last ones.
Did you guys save your best for last?
Maybe.
I definitely did.
Okay, Jared, what's your best?
I saved skinwalkers for last, man.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Especially because, especially in Utah, there's with Skinwalker Ranch, there's such a, it feels like a very popular go-to,
mm-hmm.
I would even say ongoing, like
yeah,
cryptid
it's,
thing.
It's pervasive.
It
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like the only instance I've heard people like give reports.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mostly based off of our location as well.
Yeah. Exactly.
In Utah,
that's what I mean.
You get a lot.
Yeah.
But like
this is right. like a real local.
Yeah.
I mean, real meaning
yes.
people talk about it like
on yeah
yeah.
Whereas I'm sure if we were in New Mexico, we might hear of a lechusa or something.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Right. Know? Right.
I did a lot of. I think I did the most amount of research on skinwalkers. Genuinely creeped me out.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about how and what they are. First of all, it's a Navajo legend specifically. So it's not across a ton of tribes. I mean, like other tribes may have variation things, but like it is a Navajo thing in Navajo culture, still talking about it, still, still referenced. The word for skinwalker in Navajo translates to they go on all fours. Mm. But the thing that's crazy is it's very hush hush. People in Navajo culture do not talk about it. Like they have been asked. A lot of people have been like, hey, can you give us your report? Like, whatever. They're like, no, that's not something that we can even discuss about, even in serious terms, whatever. Mm-hmm. We don't go into detail. It's too, we don't want to give it power. We don't want to give it attention.
Right.
And it's a part of our culture that's not sacred, but like, we don't F with this.
Right, right, right.
But the people that have talked about it are people who either have like left the reservation or people that have more, you know,
modern ideas.
Yeah. Maybe don't right. adhere to,
or people who heard about it
from yeah. someone
through the grapevine or, right. you know, through yeah. the local legend.
Completely. So let's talk about how you become a skinwalker. According to Navajo tradition, you effectively, you're like a witch. So in Navajo culture, you're a medicine. They have medicine men or women who are like, you know, obviously they're the doctors and the kind of people you go to for healing, for help, for those things. Basically, when a medicine man or medicine woman kind of turns into a witch and goes down a dark path, and specifically they perform like a heinous, violent, familial act is sort of the ritual and the rite. Mm. Specifically, like they mention murdering a family member.
Mm. Yeah.
Incest or corpse defilement.
Oh
yeah. And they say that they can read minds, they can control animals, call up dead spirits, and that they're like impossible to catch. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing that they will talk about a lot is that they whenever they see someone succeeding or doing well or being prosperous with the Navajo culture, they'll go after that person, because a lot of the time it's like, you have what I can't and you have what I don't. So I'm going to punish you for that. And so when crops go bad, when marriages fail, when kids die, when things get sick in Navajo culture, they're like, oh, that's a skinwalker ruining my life.
Mm.
A lot of time, which is really upsetting. The reason that Skinwalker Ranch, that they say that Skinwalker Ranch is cursed, is because it was land that was owned by Navajos and they were driven out and kicked out, and they cursed the land and they didn't bring their like cursed people with them. They stayed behind in the land. And when they were like, hey, do you want it back? They're like, nope, we're over that. We that's not something we can ever go back to. A lot of this information I actually got, shout out to 3AM podcast. They had a Navajo woman come on the show, and she was like, hey, her name is Leah Hardy. She came on and said, hey, you know, this is kind of a big deal for me. I'm not really, it's not that she wasn't supposed to do that, but that it was like a big deal for her to step out and give this level right. of detail.
Yeah.
One thing I really want to talk about is a quick story that she shared of her grandma. So her great grandfather was a medicine man, and her grandma grew up around that, obviously, all the time. And she shared the story of her grandmother growing up
in the family business,
kind of. And so one night, and I think this was like in the '50s or sixties. One night, the medicine man father was gone, you know, doing his business, and his daughter or the grandmother, she was at home. At this point, she's an adult. She has kids at home because all the families kind of stay together and live together. She is kind of cleaning the house. The kids are asleep. She's putting everyone to bed. She keeps hearing this like animal that sounds like an animal crying, but she says it sounds like a pained animal and it doesn't quite sound fully animal. Like it's changing. The cries of it are keep morphing and changing. And immediately she's like, okay, I know what's going on here. And then as it keeps going and she ignores it, she keeps hearing like footsteps or like thuds outside her house, like running up to her door and then stopping and running up to her door and circling her home and trying to like get her out without a thought. She's like, okay. Cause they're told, if you fear it, if you're scared of it, if you, whatever, you're just giving it power. You're just giving attention. So she's like, I'm not dealing with this. Pulls out a rifle, loads it up. She waits until it does its thing where it comes up to the door, opens the door, unloads, just boom, 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 like round after round after round. You know, it cries, it skitters off. You know, it's gone. She sees that she unloaded like so fast on it, she blew one of its hooves off. So its hoof is just sitting there in the ground. She's like, I'm not touching that, but you know, whatever. Morning comes. She walks outside. It's a human foot sitting there in the ground. This isn't, and this is like a firsthand story of this woman's grandmother.
Secondhand.
But in the
third hand now.
Third hand. Well, no, it's third hand for me.
Right, I know.
But like told to her by the person it happened to in the 20th century. This isn't our ancestor. Like this happened to her.
Right.
And she on this thing, she's like, there's things that I will not tell because of respect for my culture. Mm-hmm. That's like tame. Mm-hmm. So
you
of
know
all
what's
the,
funny, there's another story that I heard very similar to that happened at Skinwalker Ranch.
Really?
So in the Uintas in Utah, Skinwalker Ranch, also very modern, guy who was basically working on the ranch pulls out a shotgun because something's trying to attack the cattle there.
Yeah.
And it's taking shotgun bullets.
Wow.
And, you know, skitters away and leaves. And he's like, there's just no way, bro. Like, yeah, very similar story though.
I don't know that you mentioned Jer also.
Yeah.
Cause you were saying a hoof, then a human foot. They are like shapeshifter.
Oh yeah.
Like they occupy.
Yeah. Physically.
A form. Yeah.
By going.
You mentioned some of their supposed like abilities or something, but
yeah,
like them, their form is an interesting.
Exactly. If you don't know, obviously the name kind of is indicative of that, mm-hmm. but a skinwalker is basically a witch who can transform from human and take the shape of an animal. Specifically with the Navajo culture, they typically take the shape of like a coyote or a wolf. They can't take the shape of like a bear or an owl or something else.
Well, what's the hoof from? What was it probably?
She said it sounded like a horse. Mm. So could have been a horse, but like they said, as far as the clopping of the hooves, it sounded like a horse just to be the loudest and most intimidating. But yeah, they're shapeshifters with that's kind of their core power as their name would suggest. But yeah, this is the one that I'm like, again, ongoing part of the culture, not like, oh, in the past or whatever. Yeah. It's like, we don't talk about it because this is real.
Well, high school kids talk about like, we should go to Skinwalker Ranch, stuff like that. But I think it's interesting. I mean, even among the stuff we've seen, like a lot of it is like a reported sighting or like, you know, like this Mothman or this lake thing, right? But these, like, it's obviously tied to a culture, but there's like rites and rituals surrounding it.
Yes.
That like adds kind of to the ookiness of it.
Yeah.
And Utah is such a like a religious place.
Yeah.
That like I feel like whenever I heard about it or as people were talking about it, like it was very kind of it felt in line when people would talk like similarly about like devil stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a stigma around something like a Ouija board.
Yeah.
Right? Or something with like evil spirits.
Yeah.
And that's even in like in the more Christian, Judeo-Christian sense.
Yeah.
But when people talk about skinwalkers too,
almost reverence. That's a weird word to use, but level of like, oh, we don't mess with that because that feels
sacrilege. Yeah. If you want to look at the other way or whatever it was, right?
And as we mentioned before, having grown up here, like we hear stories and like firsthand and secondhand of people saying like, oh, we were driving down south, and our car was getting chased by something, you know, and it just stuff like that happens all the time. I see a weird blue light floating and it gets closer and it's moving really fast. Like just weird stuff.
I've heard an account of, at a kind of campsite where there were like more kind of established cabins. It wasn't like full cabin. It might've been like a half cabin, like an Adirondack, something like that.
Yeah.
At a site they had like kind of the main area. And then there's like a tree line into a more wooded area. And people heard, it was late at night and there were like different campers around and people heard like a child crying off. And like, I mean, there are campsites around. So it's like, they were like, well, it's not unlikely. Like their first thought wasn't Skinwalker.
Yeah.
But then as they approached, they heard like a fast footfall. And they like got out of there.
Dude, that's
what I've heard.
That just actually made my skin crawl. It kind of makes my eyes water a little bit. Do you ever get that when you get scared, your eyes water?
Totally.
Yeah, I'm feeling that right now. Yeah. Wow. Amazing. Yeah.
Ookie.
Skinwalkers.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, skinwalkers are so fun, man.
They're so
That's a cool one. Visceral. It's fun that it, like, I say fun as we're talking about, like, how like serious it is, but it is, it is neat when you're talking about cryptid stuff that we have.
Yeah.
At least for us, something that, like, feels very much a part of the local.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Discourse.
You know? And it's like on Wendigo levels of seriousness.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
As far as like people having reports or what they've seen or stuff like
that. Like legitimate people who have, you know, no reason to.
Doesn't seem like it's sensationalism.
Yeah.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of resources. There's a lot of podcasts that'll talk about it and like have like different guests and tell their stories and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So very cool.
Yeah.
So my last one, is, you know, two of my favorite things, the Pope Lick Monster. So
your favorite thing's Pope, the Pope and licking.
No, Lick Monster.
Monsters.
Yeah.
And licking.
Licking the Pope.
Yeah.
So the Pope Lick Monster is essentially a goat man. So think of like a, like Baphomet. You know, like head of a goat, body of a man, kind of deformed man, kind of scary.
Yeah. So, already worse than what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
With a name like that, I was my hopes were high that it was going to be kind of charming.
The Pope Lick Monster is kind of scary, dude.
Yeah, okay.
So he's like a goat man,
yeah,
right? And he carries around a rusty blood-stained axe. He just walks around with it.
Classic.
Okay?
Great.
And so this is in Kentucky. So this is like kind of by Louisville. And it's mostly around this train track. It's a train track trestle that goes over the Pope Lick Creek. That's where the name comes from, Pope Lick Creek. So
is it just a
Kentucky? I want to unpack that someday.
Wait, no, is it like just a Kentucky person saying public?
Public.
Public. Public. I don't know what they sound like.
Yeah. So basically, this train trestle, it's about 90 feet high. So basically bridging the gap between this, little valleyway, right? And that's kind of his domain, the Pope Lick Monster.
The valley?
Yeah,
this goat man here.
Yeah.
This guy's scary because he can mimic voices, people's voices, and he can draw you in. And they say that his eyes are hypnotic, and he can hypnotize people to kind of force them to try and cross the train tracks when an when the train is coming through.
Gosh.
So they'll either get hit by the train or they'll fall off and
die. He can eat them up.
Yeah, there's actually reports.
Maybe he just revels in the death
bloodshed.
Yeah, and there's actually reports of him jumping on top of like cars and attacking people's cars, like the hood of their car.
What?
Yeah. So kind of crazy. It got kind of interesting around the 80s because there was like the report of a boy who he and his friends go out there and he just had this sudden urge to like, I want to cross the train tracks. I need to cross the train tracks. And they follow him out there and he's, you know, jumping the beams or whatever. And they get gradually more and more spaced out. And so it's harder to cross and a train comes and his friends start booking it. And he kind of like suddenly snaps out of it and he starts booking it, but he didn't make it, like, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just multiple reports of teenagers just missing or dying at the train tracks, falling off this 90-foot trestle. And it's really interesting. And I think part of it maybe is like the power of the legend, whereas people hear this and, you know, teenagers want to go check it out. You know, it's like a new challenge or a new thing where people need to find out about the Pope Lick Monster.
It sounds like the Woman in Black.
Yeah. And it is kind of like what you mentioned, like he kind of revels in it. Like he's not like trying to eat you or anything. Mm-hmm. He just wants to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really interesting how he hypnotizes people in order for them to just die.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Coming out of Kentucky.
Coming out of it. See, I mean, as cool as it is.
It's scary.
Before I knew about it,
I hoped that the Pope lick monster was something silly.
Yeah. Well, you know, his origins.
Like he licks children's toes or something.
Well, no, that's. I don't know why you went there.
No, I
why
you just, went right. Wait, hang on.
Now, Darren, you're a little preoccupied.
Can I? Something's on your mind near that.
So there's actually like a lot of different origin stories. A lot of people don't know where the Pope man or Pope lick monster, the Pope the man, goat Pope man.
The Pontiff. Vatican, I think.
People don't know where he came from. There's reports of, it was a circus train that got struck by lightning. And, sick. You know,
and no, see, now we're getting whimsical yeah, again.
He's yeah. like the result of like a freak show guy that like is bitter or something like that. There's others that are like, he was a farmer who sacrificed his goats to the devil for powers or whatever. It's a farmer who got a little too familiar with his goats, and that's like the spawn of him and a goat. There's a lot of different like, you know, tales and like, where did he come from? But nobody really knows, and there aren't any like actual documented or reported like documented sightings of it. There's just, you know, stories and hearsay. You know, and kids going missing and people saying, it must have been the monster.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
cool. I like that one.
So. Yeah.
My last one is another really popular one. It's the Jersey Devil.
Oh, nice.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is from the area of South Jersey and Philadelphia, particularly in an area called the Pine Barrens. Great name.
Scary.
Semi-related, maybe, or something that lent itself to the description or ideation of the Jersey Devil. Before those kind of legends came out, they're the Lenape people, which was the native tribe living in the Pine Barrens. They thought that there was a spirit that lived around there called an Nsing. That's wow. Spelled M'SING, Nsing, yeah. And described as a deer-like creature with leathery wings.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which is kind of similar to some of the depictions of the Jersey Devil, yeah. Too. There's a few different ideas of where the Jersey Devil comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's old, isn't it?
Uh-huh. This is kind of depends on where the origin is, but
sure.
Yeah. So one source or one claimed origin is that Jane Leeds had 12 children. They also call her Mother Leeds. Had 12 children. She found out she was pregnant with a 13th and cursed the child, saying it was of the devil because it's a 13th.
Oh, okay.
Right. Also,
stop the Ruger.
Jane, maybe be a little more responsible. Exactly. I know. See?
Yeah.
Your kids are good if you can just pop one more out, man.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, but you're cursing it. It's also your fault.
Yeah, screw you, mama.
Leeds. What was well, that name? Was the problem.
Mother Leeds.
Screw you. That was...
That's how she got into this mess.
Yeah, it's fair.
So apparently from this story, after she cursed it, right after birth, it was born as a baby, but then it turned into a creature with hooves, a goat's head, bat wings, and a forked tail. And it flew and beat everyone in the room with its tail and flew out the chimney.
What a little mischievous boy.
Mm-hmm. And kind some versions have Mother Leeds as a witch also, and that the father was the devil.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So either she cursed it as the 13th or she was already a witch. And so for that reason, it's also called the Leeds Devil or the Devil of Leeds.
Hmm.
Right. And that, in that area, though, there's a place called Leeds Point, too, named after the family that was prominent around there.
Yeah.
But that was one idea, and that's like the myth of it. And people were wondering like where that could have come from. The suspicion is that it could be Deborah and Japhet Leeds, because they had 12 kids, and they're from that time. And it was confirmed that they have 12 kids because in Japhet's will, they're all named.
Hmm.
And so they're like, okay, could be that. And then weirdly,
like, there's a chance that it comes from Daniel Leeds. Daniel Leeds is a man who was Benjamin Franklin's rival in almanac publication.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so Benjamin Franklin published the Poor Man's Almanac.
Yeah. Or the Poor Richard.
Yeah. Thanks. And Daniel was publishing an almanac, and it was kind of suspected that, like, their rivalry and kind of the religiosity and political atmosphere, how closely those were connected, like, that rivalry led some to call Daniel, like, the Leeds devil because of, like, just trying to, like, slander him.
Okay.
But then, like, Daniel was part of the Quaker community.
Right.
And he, in his almanac, he published, like, some astrology stuff. And so they censored and destroyed his almanacs for, like, being too pagan.
Right. They discredited him.
And so then he just leaned into it. And, like, mysticism and, like, esoteric Christian beliefs and, right. like magic and things like that. But, like, still kind of tied to Christians, like, angelism and demonism and things like that.
Yeah.
And, like, started publishing that stuff. And so instead of just being, like, pagan, the Quakers, like, denounced him, his stuff, as blasphemous and heretical.
Leeds Almanac, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Denounced him as blasphemous and heretical. And then, like, it was this rivalry between him and the Quakers. And so, like, he converted to Anglicanism and, like, was putting out tracts, like, anti-Quaker tracts.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, spreading literature against them.
Yeah.
And he also was, like, super loyal to the crown, like, to the monarchy, and had a relationship with, like, with some lord or something in England. And, like... So
he was just a troublemaker.
Yeah, he's a monarchist, and, like, that area was, like, super anti-monarchy.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of those areas would be if Benjamin Franklin's around, right?
Yeah.
But, like, so it's just all these weird different ideals and ideologies. And so the Quakers actually published a tract in response to his anti-Quaker tract.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of just denounced and I'm trying to think of the word, basically, like, called out all the bad stuff, like, not just the heresy and stuff like that, but that also he was, like, affiliated with the crown and things like that, and, like, all these bad things, and said that he was working with the devil. And so, like, there's the thought that, like,
he became,
like, Leeds devil, Jersey devil, kind of connected there, which is really weird.
That's like,
and he also did have 9 kids, which is still a lot, right? So also that could also tie into it.
I don't think he's a character I would trust either, if I'm being honest.
No. Well, it could be him, right? You can't trust him. But the Jersey Devil is pretty prominent in depictions and in media and things like that. The hockey team from New Jersey is the New Jersey Devils. And it's after that.
Real goofy looking. Oh, pictures.
Yeah. I mean, if you've seen Seinfeld, you know that Putty, he's a big Devils fan.
I was talking about the cryptid.
Yeah, but not the hockey team.
Oh, sorry. I'm still on the hockey.
The cryptid is very goofy looking.
Yeah. It is like, it is kind of goatish.
Yeah.
But, like, bad big proportions. Head. Yeah. Big head, leathery wings still.
Tiny little body.
Kind of bat wings It's really weird.
I feel like skips leg day. It's like the scrawniest, tiny little legs.
Yeah.
But it has been represented in a lot of different things, including the X-Files.
Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, cool.
The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. What We Do in the Shadows, which is recent.
Oh, yeah.
Gravity Falls and Supernatural.
Wow.
So, like, very popular modern media stuff.
Big time.
Around the Jersey Devil.
Representation. Huh.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's probably like the most representation we've had tonight, actually, for a cryptid.
Uh-huh.
I did forget to mention the Rougarou is mentioned in Harry Potter. Like,
right. Oh, like
the hair
specifically?
The hair of a Rougarou, it can be inside of a wand or something.
Oh.
Like the heart of a
wand. What?
I forgot to mention that for some reason.
Oh, is that like one of the Pottermore editions? Like, that's a wand core. from the States?
For Americans, yeah.
She kind of broke down some of the American stuff.
She did. I didn't mention it either. She talks about skinwalkers as well.
Oh, yeah?
And they, Native American, Navajo people got really mad at her because they're like, oh, this, she's like, the skinwalkers were just misunderstood witches and animagi, whatever.
Right.
And they're like, no, they're not. They're terrible. Please don't think they're cool.
Right.
She heard about like people transitioning and got, you know, decided to just totally butcher the lore. Yeah.
She does that, dog.
she's like so like Greek mythology kid.
Yeah.
Levels of shallow. Like,
yes.
I'm going to name.
She reads like a Wikipedia article and she's like, okay. That's my whole book.
I'm going to use Latin for my spells.
Yeah.
The dog character will be named Sirius after the dog constellation.
Yeah.
Like back then people were like, whoa, Lupin, like Lupus, like a wolf.
Remus, like Romulus. Remus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. But
I mean, I love Harry Potter.
Me too.
Don't get me wrong. Sorry. But we've talked about it.
Yeah.
Post book 7, like just stop.
Yeah. Walk away.
You don't need to add stuff. You don't need to.
Don't follow JK on Twitter.
You don't need to talk on. Yeah.
Don't. Yeah.
That's just. I mean, that's the thing, though. Where do we draw the line between
art and artist?
Art and artist. Yeah. Right.
Chuck Berry did some things. I like Chuck Berry's music.
He's my favorite cryptid, actually.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like. And here's the thing. The chances of some media you like having a horrible person attached to it is pretty high.
It's pretty high. You know? There's no ethical consumption.
Sure. Yeah.
Under capitalism. Don't you know?
Yeah. 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 And who know, you don't know what you're supporting when you're spending money on these songs, you know, what that artist does.
Yeah.
Like, sure. We hate Chris Brown and R. Kelly. Well, that's just 'cause we found out what they did.
That's true.
What have other people gotten away with?
Whoa, so true.
So many things, bro.
That's just, like, you either have to divorce yourself from it entirely not consume anything.
Right. It's like with cryptids, man.
It's not.
Well, hang on.
yeah, sure. Break it down.
Okay. We don't know a lot about them. We only know about the ones that we've caught doing bad things.
We haven't caught any of them. Okay, that's the thing. They're specifically and literally cryptids because they haven't been caught.
Okay. So they keep getting away with it. Because they're like these big.
They're the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm just trying to bring it back to the topic and maybe I know, put a bow on this.
So who do you think has gotten away with something? let's start a witch hunt here.
Excuse me. Right. Yeah. Who's our most suspicious celebrity that we're sure just hasn't been outed yet as being horrible?
Man, we cannot.
Who's on the flight logs?
Stephen Hawking.
I heard about that.
Yeah, he is.
Let's
go on. Let's go back.
Okay, sure. Cryptids. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's been great. There are a lot around here. I mean, there's so many we didn't mention.
Yes.
There's so many all over the world. And it is like the lines blur between
legends,
folklore, legend, you know, myth. Like, I don't know, like a Sphinx could be a cryptid. Even though, like, people don't talk about him anymore, but we do have a lot of that.
For sure.
Kind of overlap and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I feel like, I don't know, if you haven't been, like, following along, like, Googling stuff as we've been talking about it, go back and do it, because there's a lot of imagery and there's a lot of articles and there are a lot of things to go really deep on a lot of this stuff. And a lot of the images of stuff we talk about, it's way creepier than we're describing. And some of it is much stupider than you might imagine.
Some of them, I mean, you're like, how did this catch on?
Yeah.
Like these weird descriptions of things.
Completely.
Yeah.
But you do yourself a favor and Google some of this stuff, because a lot of it is spooky and a lot of it's just fun.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, man. Thanks for listening along, gang.
Thanks for sitting by the fireside with us.
Did you finish your tea? Did you finish your coffee? Did you finish your soup?
You're back on the warm stuff for the Wisconsinites?
Yeah.
You know what? We should do a little fireside thing. We should film ourselves like an Instagram live or something around a nice fire, telling stories.
Yeah.
I think that that would be killer.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Big time.
Wait, for our 49 followers on Instagram?
51, baby. Yeah.
Is it actually?
I don't know. I think so.
No guarantee that all of them would tune in, so I'm going to go ahead and say about 14.
Yeah, baby. Whatever. We'll take anyone.
Well, that's all we have about the topic itself, about cryptids, you know, things along those lines.
There's a lot of cryptids, way too many, actually. We mentioned 9, but there's a lot.
Yeah.
So
do your own research. Just then, stop coming to us for everything.
Hey,
so true.
Whoa. No, I'm kidding. You always
we
come gotta, to us.
I mean, we can change the subject before Jaren gets really frustrated.
We should.
Yeah, we're heading into something territory you may have heard of.
Nah. I really do want to ruin it so bad.
Take the drums, Jason. Because someone has to say I'm related.
I was waiting for him. I know.
Because you were the third.
I didn't want to do it in the first place.
I know, but here's the thing. If you're the dead weight in these unrelated songs that now for the fourth or fifth week in a row we've struggled with, we need to have a conversation.
Yeah, we're gonna have a talk with you.
You know what? Burn loose ends.
What does that mean, Jason?
Burn me with lit cigarettes.
Okay.
Hey.
We are really gonna have a talk with you after this.
Get me.
Yeah.
You little freak.
Tie me to a chair. Yeah. Whip me.
This is unrelated.
So I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
And it is unrelated, but it is the slightest bit related.
That's okay,
because I mentioned myth.
Yeah.
And I want to know, because at some point, at some level, I'm sure we liked learning about Greek gods, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still love it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So I want to know which Greek god best represents you.
That's interesting. Or
not best represents. Which one do you like the most? Like, would you want to be?
Well, okay, hang on.
No. Now, let me think.
Dial that in.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a lot of these guys.
No. They're horrible.
Yeah.
People.
In some cases. Who would I worship if I was a Greek citizen?
Sure.
I'll do your job for you, you clown.
Yeah. That's better. I mean, I was working to that.
Okay. I'm a middle class Greek citizen. I'm a merchant, perhaps.
Sure.
Who am I worshiping? Oh man. I really have an affinity for, it's basic. I feel so embarrassed. Maybe I shouldn't say.
I know. What is it?
I love Apollo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So classic.
Yeah. I don't think it's basic. Unfortunately, that's also my answer though.
Oh, dang it.
I would. Yeah. It's Apollo. God of the sun.
Yeah.
Bring stuff up with his chariot. Also like god of music and poetry.
Yeah. Who is Artemis the goddess of the hunt?
Mm-hmm. And they're siblings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I'll take Art. I'll take Artemis. I'll give you the Apollo. Moon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take Artemis.
Okay. You said Apollo first.
No.
I feel like I should defer to you
because
you
want,
claimed it.
I don't want to be associated
just,
with
you're
you.
You're embarrassed.
I'm embarrassed to be associated with you.
I feel like that's heresy on your part.
As a Greek citizen?
Yeah. Wasn't there, didn't I get
murdered for switching.
Trojans get in trouble for trashing the temple of Apollo?
Maybe. That's me right now.
Or was it the Greeks that got in trouble?
Jason?
I'm going to keep mine.
I think it was the Greeks. Whoever his side was on. Because didn't he cut the head off the Apollo statue?
I wish I knew.
In Troy?
I haven't seen it in so long.
I haven't seen it forever. Yeah, I have seen it.
Is Brad Pitt Greek or Trojan?
He's, well, I thought Brad Pitt was, Achilles.
Oh, he's Achilles.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said Archimedes.
He's Greek.
He's Achilles.
He's Archimedes. Yeah. Because his king is Agamemnon.
Yes.
Yeah. And he killed Hector.
Uh-huh. Eric Bana.
Dragged his body. Yeah.
Yep.
Orlando Bloom was Paris.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some woman was
Homegirl was Helen. No, it's not some woman. It's the...
Rachel Weisz?
No. It's National Treasure Girl.
Who's Diane Kruger.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. Stunning. My wife met her once in France.
No way?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't want to get into it. No. It was great. She was great.
That's cool. Nice. Yeah. She's lovely. Good Helen of Troy.
Jason, who do you worship, my sweet prince?
I'm going to keep it kind of relevant to the season. And I'm going to say Typhon and Echidna, the parents of the monsters.
Oh, Typhon and Echidna? I got to go.
Yeah, dog.
I got to read some books.
He just had to look it up.
I had to make sure I pronounced it right.
But you did know?
Cool. Yeah. You know, because they got like the Nemean lion that can't be killed by weapons.
I don't know.
Oh, big old
lion boy. That's like, I think that's one of their kids.
Offspring?
Yeah.
Jay.
Cool.
Anyway, I wanted to keep it monster related.
You're such a hipster.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. That's a very Jason
I was hoping you'd say like,
even if it wasn't the season
or something.
I could be wrong, though. I don't know if the Nemean lion is actually their kid. I think he is. But
Well, monsters anyway.
We'll figure it out.
Cryptids.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so Jason made it really related. we're glad you joined us. We're glad that you endured the hour plus of cryptids. Hope you got a little spooked.
Yeah.
You know, 'tis the season.
It is. Get scared.
Yeah. Tune in next week for who knows what.
We'll figure that out in a little bit. Please follow us on socials. Leave a review if you can.
Yeah.
If
follow us on Spotify.
Yes.
I don't know how followers work on Apple Podcasts. I think you can just kind of subscribe to it.
Yeah.
But you can follow us on Spotify. Also, there's some fun little interactive questions on Spotify.
Absolutely.
Go ahead and check those out because we're asking
dumb stuff,
favorite DCOMs, you know,
Pokemon,
others. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Best Pokemon generation. So it's a fun little chance to interact. If you just want a low stakes, mostly anonymous, you don't want to email us. You don't want to put in the work there. Yeah. If you're already listening on Spotify, answer the questions.
Just pop in.
It'd be fun.
If you have any spooky cryptid stories, boy, would we love to hear them.
Yeah. Oh, any accounts? Totally. Utah listeners, even if it's your cousins
with the Wendigo,
yeah, I think our best chances with Wendigos and Skinwalkers,
yeah, for sure.
So even if it's a second, third, fourth hand account, it'd be fun to hear it.
Even if you're lying, just reach out.
Yeah, please. Even if you're just writing fiction, if you're writing, pretend a ghost story.
Absolutely. Thanks for
listening. Have a good time.
Day.
Love you.
I threw it off at the time.